No, another senator.
Which, depending upon where we're at on these two conversations, we can.
Could have been the quorum.
All right, we have a quorum.
Welcome.
Senator Hayden.
How are things on the floor?
Hanging in there.
There's, we're back to discuss Senate file, House File 2531. We had, last meeting we agreed on the 1, 2, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, all in. And there are things on the table that we need to discuss. One is the A7 amendment that we had brought forward from the Senate side. And then there were two House amendments, House File 1986 and 1961. And I think for the sake of information, am I missing anything? Yeah, there was one other amendment that folks wanted to bring forward, which was John Marty's amendment. But we can sure have that discussion as we go on. Representative Erdahl, are you familiar with the two House amendments that were brought forward? I think you were, maybe we should give him an idea of where we're at on those.
We need to be.
Let's review them.
Okay. So, Representative Halverson, do you want to talk about 1961?
Sure thing, Mr. Chair. House File 1961 is a bill that has been heard in committee and passed off the House floor. It includes additional disclosure and public integrity for elected officials, public officials, including adding a must provision to audits and investigations, including adding spousal disclosure when there might be a conflict of interest, and which we find is kind of practice among most elected officials as we survey them. And it also includes disclosure of individuals who are individual contractors regarding the associated businesses that they do business with. So not naming clients, but naming categories of income as per the IRS codes. It also clarifies that data is classified as private if it is private data. And that's a brief walkthrough of the provisions. So.
Great. Thank you. Any questions for Representative Halverson?
The must audits, could you just say that a little more clear?
So currently in statute, it does provide that the Campaign Finance Board may make audits and investigations with respect to the disclosure that we are required to do. It changes the may to a must within the resources of the Campaign Finance and Disclosure Board. So there's not a fiscal note attached to this piece of legislation for that reason, but it does increase the expectation for the board to do audits and investigations as needed.
So it's must, but as needed.
Must as there are resources available. And according to testimony that we heard from Mr. Goldsmith, those resources, because of the additional funding that was provided in the last session, that we have actually made those funds more available.
Great. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Halverson, just the questions come up to my mind. And maybe you've answered this before on the House floor or whatever, and I missed it. But on the spousal reporting, if a spouse refuses to do it, what is the penalty, and how is it paid?
Mr. Chair and
Representative
Erdahl, the it's under the conflict of interest provisions that we so it's not the economic disclosure. So what it says with regard to spouses and their potential conflict of interest is that legislators are required to disclose a spouse's potential conflict of interest of an item that they might take action on. So I'm trying to think through a scenario where a spouse would refuse because it's really we're asking the legislator to add their spouse's financial interests. And if you recall, the financial interests that would make for a situation where we'd have to disclose a conflict of interest would be a unique and significant financial interest for that particular person. So if you were voting on, a particular plot of land or a particular interest that your spouse have, where it would give you or your spouse a significant and unique interest, then it's a potential conflict of interest and it has to be disclosed. So it's not every conflict of interest. It's not every time even you recuse yourself, because there's a lot of people who recuse themselves from voting on something that their spouse has an interest in, even if it isn't a unique and significant interest. So.
Thank you, Representative Riddle. So, and the other one that we had was House File 1986. Is there anybody, first of all, let me go back, anybody that wants to comment on 1961 in the room? Mr. Goldsmith.
Mr. Chair, members, Gary Goldsmith, Campaign Finance Board Executive Director. I just wanted to make one comment on the mandatory audits. That's in Section 10A02. Of the statutes, and so that doesn't mean we would necessarily make mandatory audits of economic interest disclosure, but there would be a program of mandatory audits in the whole campaign finance and public disclosure system. So I don't want people to think that this bill would specifically say we have to audit economic interest statements, but we would have to develop an audit program.
Okay. Thank you. Next one that we had up was Senate File 1986. Which was, looks like, brought by Winkler. Does somebody from the House want to give us another update on what that's about?
Mr. Gary?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, the House File 1986 is Representative Winkler's bill. This is the bill that would revert the gift ban provisions back to the way they were before last session. So you may recall last session in the campaign finance bill,
yep. There
was an exception added to allow legislators and staff to accept a meal at a reception or meeting given by a principal or a lobbyist if all members of the legislature were invited at least 5 days in advance. So this House File 1986 would eliminate that exception, so basically revert the law to the way that it was before 2013.
Great, thank you. Anybody want to speak on that? Or is that okay? And the other thing that was the A7 amendment that we had talked about too, which was really a conversation, and I wish Senator Newman was here as well. But really, the whole discussion of prima facie determination, putting in statute finally an understanding of a definition of what prima facie is, and was cleaned up some other languages too, without just cause. I think one of the sticking points we had spent some time on was expedited rulemaking versus the sonar or the full rulemaking. And I know and that's where we're at with that. So any comments, conversations, questions on A7 amendment?
Mr. Chair, we'll probably have some more discussion as we go. We're just sort of laying everything on the table now.
Yep, just throwing it on the table. This is what we have left on the table to discuss.
I'll just throw out one very, very, very simple thing, which is just a typo on the A7 amendment 2.3. The notice must include the definition of a prima facie determination
period,
capital W, within 30 days after filing. The period and capital W were dropped.
Any discussion on the on that friendly amendment to the amendment? one of the council people or analysts want to?
Mr. Chair, that was my understanding as well. I think when we consider the A7, we could just incorporate that.
Yes.
Okay.
Change.
So, all right. Good. Do we need to take we don't need to take any action on that.
So,
okay. Good. So, what's the pleasure of this group? I have some reservations about the my intention of this bill, and the elephant's in the middle. I don't like to play around the bush, but we really wanted to get to some transparency issues, some prima facie determinations, probable cause stuff. We wanted to make sure that the Board of Governance was doing what they were doing. I know there are definitely some conversations that we're going to have regarding expedited conciliation agreements, not based on probable cause, et cetera, without just cause or with just cause. But I think one of the things that I'm concerned about is I have reservation in what I thought, and please correct me, and I'm open for any kinds of discussion, was that we simply wanted to look at the governance side, transparency side of the board and how the campaign finance board responds, and not to bring up, and this is just me talking now, and not to have added to it stuff. And even though it passed on the House floor, I've taken it back and talked with my leadership, and we do have some reservations about definitely 1961 and specifically 1986. So having said that, let's talk.
That's just interesting to me, Mr. Chair. Between 1986 and 1961, I have heard so many different things. I don't really know which one is the more difficult one for the Senate. The gift ban is revert back to what we've done forever. It's just been 1 year that we've had that legislators could be given a free meal. That's all that one is. And 1961, Halverson has to do with the conflicts of interest or economic interest statements and some provisions in there. Can you really tell me which one is the one that's most uncomfortable for you? I mean, I've been hearing different things. Some people say, oh, they're really uncomfortable with this. They're really uncomfortable with that. So I don't really know.
So the other thing, too, that brings up is, both of the bills that you have in front of us, 1986, 1961, I know the companions, neither one of those made it through the Rules Committee on the Senate side. There's a third amendment, too, that is sitting out there that should be laid on the table and brought up on the table, too. But that's was a companion, I think, to 1986, and that was Senate File 1730. Is that correct?
Senator Marty.
Senator Marty had that language. I think if I were to say one or the other, my preference would be 1986 should not be included in our conversation. I think that has more of a problem than 1961 does.
Okay. And I will just say that, Mr. Chair, that 1730 was Marty and the House bill was Freiberg.
Do you remember that? I thought the companion was 1986 on the House side.
No.
I was given wrong information. I'm sorry.
It has to do with all money from lobbyists. It's important to the penny, not over $200.
Okay.
So.
I mean, how entrenched is the House in getting 1986 and 1961 passed through this? What otherwise was a pretty clean look at prima facie and board governance.
Mr. Chair, I would take it back to the fact that this bill was a technical bill of the Campaign Finance Board, which was really pretty innocuous, both House and Senate. And the Senate decided to add more to it, which is the discussion you've just had around your ideas of transparency. But that was the Senate's part, and the House had no part in that. So if we were to look at that, then it would be very nice to look also at some of the things that we passed fully all the way through across the House floor, all the way, and they just got stopped in your side at Rules.
Correct.
And that seems a fair thing to bring in comparison to you putting something on this technical campaign finance board bill that you want. So we would really like to see some of this public integrity stuff. That's why that comes forth, and I think that's a fair balance.
So, Mr. Senator Hayden.
So I appreciate you guys kind of bringing these forward. I would have to say that it didn't get through our process. I think that there were concerns that they had, and I don't think one of the reasons I don't know if it could have got through the rules. I do have a question, though, Representative Lane or one of your colleagues. So there was a lot about kind of this gift ban issue and kind of a lot made, but was there anything that came of it? And you may or may not know that, but was there even anybody that was invited to something that they had? And then if they did we feel like there was some gain of it? I just often feel like around here, one way or the other, is that we make these kind of loud pejorative statements that often reflect in us looking as if somehow a chicken dinner, if you will, is going to make us change our mind on a big issue, right? So I'm just saying, one, was there ever any event? And then secondly, this issue of the way that, or cheese, the way that, you know, it often is portrayed is that somehow, you know, this meal that might be provided for the whole legislature may weigh in to decisions that we have to make around here.
Mr. Chair.
Madam Representative Lane, no.
2 points. One is a little point that when I was running for something in my town, there is actually a competitor who actually got taken all the way through their county attorney process because it wasn't under the campaign finance board. It was under chapter whatever that other what chapter is, and got fined $1,000 for just that, providing chicken as part of the enticement to get somebody to vote for him. But for this particular one, the gift ban, which is offering a meal to legislators, as long as you offer it to everybody, they can have it for free. An example would be the business partnership, which did that offer, and maybe they would only have particular people come, but now those people get it for free. And there was something in the agriculture world.
I believe it was the AURI did an event that where they invited the full legislature, but I'm not 100% sure if it was the AURI or another agricultural interest.
So
did an event for
Farm
the
Bureau,
whole legislature.
Probably.
Was it the Farm Bureau?
So it would be an example of putting it out there for everybody, knowing that not everybody would come, but those who came would get it free. So it's another loophole to provide a meal free for legislators to look at their particular agenda.
Representative Halverson and then Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To that point, we know these dinners take place and we can purchase our own chicken. I think that what the underlying story of this and the fact that it's been enacted in Minnesota law for so many years is really an expectation of the public. And there's also a question of access. So if you are a heavy-hitting group that has a lot of dues payers and you can put on a meal for 134 legislators or 201 legislators, and you can afford that, you can afford a whole lot of access outside the walls of the Capitol. If you're a group that cannot afford such a thing, you don't have the same access. And we tell a pretty amazing story of clean elections in Minnesota. And we have historically, and I always feel really good when I'm out on the campaign trail and they say, oh, you guys are all getting wined and dined all the time, and you can say, it's not happening in Minnesota. And it's not happening in Minnesota because we have such strong laws that there is not an inequality of access. You don't have to be well healed to get hurt at our state capitol like you do in other state capitals. And so it's a system, I think, that's worked well for Minnesotans. It's something that our citizens have come to expect, which is why we took it back up this year.
So Mr. Chair, to that point.
Yep, Senator Hayden, and I just want to let Representative Erdahl know that we're going to that point. And then I just want to let Senator Hayden know we're having a discussion on Senator Newell. Who did I just say that?
So I understand that. The reality of it, and symbolism is important here, and we all want to show that we have good governance. But the reality here is that people who are well funded and have great access, and that they have more access than others anyways. you know, I make it a point to try to figure out people, citizen lobbyists and others and advocates, and to try to kind of bring them to this process. So the reality of it is that, well, I won't say all of us because I don't know how you operate, but we walk around in the halls every single day and we talk to people, and those that seem to be well-funded and have, you know, and have great lobbying firms and others tend to take up a lot of time and get a lot of access to us. So, you know, I'm just not sure that I buy, quite frankly, with all due respect, that this allows. I think that if you are an integrity-filled legislator, that a meal, or, you know, and I think within reason, I don't think we should get lavish gifts, but I don't necessarily think a meal is going to change any of our minds, and frankly, change the perception of what people think about us in the state. I think they elect us because they know we do good work. I think they watch us very closely to see if what we say is in light of what we do. And I think that's how we get elected, and I think that's how some of us have gotten reelected based on that. I don't think that I've heard of anyone, frankly, now maybe our districts are different, that have said, you know, Hayden, you know, are you getting a steak dinner and that's why you voted for the agriculture industry, or whatever the case may be. So I do think that, you know, I won't go that far to say much to do about nothing because it's very important to a lot of people. I just don't feel like this is something that I can support. I think we need to have a lot more conversation and a much broader a sense in the Senate, with the full Senate, since this is kind of the provision that brought forward for me to be able to accept it. And I'm just not sure that I think that this is going to create that level of sunshine that makes us feel good. I think that we're like that today.
Representative Erdahl.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In a lot of the places where I go, frankly, they get around it anyway, because it's if you speak or intend to speak. I intend to speak wherever I go, so it kind of covers it. But, you know, at Farm Bureau, when we go to that meeting, we all have to get up and speak. Makes for a very long and boring session, I'll tell you.
Senator Newman, we're sitting on 1986. We just threw out what we've had discussion on, what's left to do, and number one is the A7 amendment, and then House Files 1986 and 1961. And I just want to clarify, Representative Lane, that Senate File 1730, which is Marty, is the same as House File 1986. So I did get clarification on that. Yeah. So.
1730.
Yeah, so Senate File 1730 was Senator Marty's bill. So, and I know there's so many bills running out there. So we're all on the same page on that. So Senator Newman, welcome.
Thank you, and I apologize for being late. I was covering for you, Mr. Chair, on the Elections Conference Committee report with Senator Sitton.
Oh, oops. Thank you.
You're covered.
God, I'm glad somebody's covered me today. That's good. So, you know, the other thing that comes up, so I guess we keep continually talking about the technical bill, and this, some would mention, is this really germane to what we wanted to do regarding on the transparency of the board, the transparency of that, you know, how the board operates? And that's just a question to throw out there, Representative Lane.
Mr. Chair, like to clarify that the technical bill that we both started with was just that, a technical bill, and that the Senate added the piece that they're calling transparency, and the House did not, and that's where we stand.
Okay, so
there's a few other minor points too along the way, but those are the big ones.
We have an impasse, and I don't think so. I guess the pleasure of this group, 1986. Did we take a vote on that? Bring them up and either vote them up or vote them down, or is there a discussion on? I know that we can't
accept.
We have a roll call.
Okay.
Yeah, we're excused.
Did they send you that? I guess they did.
Since we're lining up possible balances to the piece you added to the transparency piece to the technical bill,
do you want to have further discussion about the possibilities before you throw them off, or do you want to just start throwing one off?
We might end up with, and you know what, so be it. If we end up with nothing, you know, best alternative to negotiated agreement is to walk away from something and start all over again. I don't care. I mean, that's just, that's the business person inside of me, and so, but I think there's a fix here. I think we can get this. I think the work that we've tried to do throughout this whole process is really going to be about the how the board is operating, how the campaign finance board is operating, so that there is transparency and there's a public accountability. Now, having said that, do we need to go, Senator Hayden, go and punch in?
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Sorry.
Are you going to be back?
Yes. Okay. We'll tell him. We'll be in recess for 2 seconds. Line along to take Senator Newman and Ida.
Well, Senator Newman limps along. You want me to run over there and vote?
No. Maybe on this one.
Cut my arm off up there.
You should. Shake him up a little.
I certainly do.